He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. God's word for our sermon this morning is the gospel for today, in the first gospel, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. My dear fellow believers in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. The phone rang. Hello, Dad. I'm in big trouble. I'm so sorry I messed up. I'm so sorry I didn't come home when I was supposed to. The police came to the party and they arrested me and I'm in jail. Can you ever forgive me? The eighth grader was irked by her classmate's comments. Why are you so stupid, she hollered, huh? Can't you see what a dumb idea that is? Her classmate burst into tears and ran out of the room. And suddenly it hit her what terrible, hurtful words she had just spoken. So she ran out of the room after her classmate and said to her, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad I said all that to you. Can you ever forgive me? The husband had been unfaithful to his wife, and he had cheated on her. When he apologized to her, he saw something die in her eyes because she was so devastated by the adultery that he had committed. In his shame, he knew not to say too much. He simply muttered, I'm so sorry. You didn't deserve that. I have no excuse for what I did, and I feel so ashamed. And I just want to say how sorry I am, and not only to you, but also to my God. Can you ever forgive me? This morning, God wants every one of us here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church to put ourselves into all situations like this and a million more like them, huh? As we ask this question for our sermon theme, right? How many times shall I forgive? It's an unnatural act, this forgiving someone else. What's natural instead of forgiveness is anger. When someone hurts you, someone offends you, when someone gives you pain, why, it's natural to be angry, to want to strike back, to hurt in return. And you can bet in a fallen world such as ours, where something is always wrong with somebody, where something is always wrong around us, in a world where people are always tempted to hurt somebody else in some way, in a human heart that is always tempted to strike back at the strikers, you can bet this world is going to be an angry place. In this world, people are going to be angry, because your classmate gossiped about you at recess. Because your coworker sloughed off and left you to do so much work on your own, huh? Because the one who committed to you for the rest of your life has dumped you for another person. Oh yes, that touches a raw nerve. And that causes anger. Such is our world because of sin. How many times shall I forgive? The answer is obvious. If you're determined to hold on to your anger in life, the answer is zero. Zip. Nada. You'll never forgive. Angry people can't forgive at all. And their unforgiveness just rises up to consume them and to make them into bitter people with a huge chip on their shoulders, determined they will get their revenge when their time comes. Forgiveness means you give up the right to pay someone back. It means releasing a person from the guilt of what they just did against you. It means laying aside the desire to hurt someone in return for their hurting you. Forgiveness means pulling down the zipper on the judge's robe, yanking it off, and letting God be the judge. Oh, to be clear, don't get me wrong. Forgiveness is not saying what a person did to you is all right, that it's okay, that it's no big deal. Just forget about it and move on in life. Nor is forgiveness a warm, fuzzy feeling of that we have inside of us toward the one who sinned against us. In fact, forgiveness is not an emotion of the heart at all. Rather, forgiveness is an act of the will, a commitment of the heart that is then displayed on the lips and is conveyed with words. Forgiveness is forensic. That means it's a courtroom term, huh? It is simply telling someone that you're not going to hold their sin over them. It is telling someone you're not going to hold their sins against them. Yes, forgiveness in that sense is the verdict of the judge. It's communicating as a judge. The judge says, I'm not going to count your sin against you in my relationship with you. How many times shall I forgive? That was Peter's question to Jesus in our scripture text for today. Listen to it again. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister when he or she sins against me? Up to seven times? Peter thought, as we all think, there must be some limit here to how often we're to forgive someone else. After all, if there's no limit to forgiveness, won't people take advantage of you? I mean, if you just forgive someone over and over and over again, they'll abuse your kindness and they'll sin all the more. Plus, Peter thought he was being generous with the number seven. The rabbis, the teachers of God's word of his day, said it was enough to forgive someone three times. But seven times? Come on, man. That's way too much. That's more than what anyone can ever expect. Oh, Peter must have been so proud of himself, right? Thinking what a good Christian he must be for suggesting that seven was the number, huh? But Jesus' answer blows Peter right out of the water. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. Basically, Jesus is saying here, Peter, at seven times, you're just getting started. You're just getting warmed up, Peter. That's because you cannot put a number on forgiveness. And if you want to put a number on how many times you will forgive another person, then you don't understand forgiveness at all. Because if you want to limit the number of times you will forgive another person, you'll need to look into the mirror and re-examine your own faith, re-examine your own Christianity. You'll need to start all over again with yourself. Because if you're a Christian, you'll just forgive another person over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. How are we ever able to do that? Well, Jesus tells a story to show us how to do that in our scripture text today. A certain servant had a debt with his king. 10,000 bags of gold, 10,000 talents, a huge sum of money, millions and millions and millions of dollars in today's currency. And there was no way on God's green earth he was ever going to pay this debt off. He deserved to spend the rest of his life in debtor's prison because of it. But the king, he simply canceled the debt. All of it in one fell swoop. No questions asked. No payment demanded. No commitment to pay any of it back. Just one big, beautiful, wonderful announcement from the king. The debt is canceled once and for all time. That's what God has done for us, for you, for me, for the whole world, huh? The debt in the parable is sin. Our sin. Our neighbor's sin. The world's sin against our holy God. In fact, one of the versions of the Lord's Prayer even says it that way. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the gospel of the Bible, God has said to every person on this planet, you are free of your debt. Your sins have been paid for in full. The guilt, the condemnation, the damn you that your sins deserve have been paid for in full, and they are now gone. Therefore, I, as your holy God, announce to you, all your sins are forgiven. That's God's verdict to the whole human race. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. What a fabulous message. God has personally said to you and to me, to every sinner in this whole wide world in the gospel, you are forgiven. Because of what my son Jesus Christ did, because he lived the perfect life in your place, because he died to pay for all of your sins, I declare you holy. I see you through Jesus as sinless in my sight. But the story goes on. When the now free servant hits the streets, he runs into his fellow servant, someone who owes him 100 denarii, about 3 months of wages, a few $1,000s in today's money. Oh, no small amount of money, but not like the debt that he owed to his king. The servant demands payment, but the man can't pay, and he begs the servant to forgive him the debt. Still, he won't let it go. He continues to demand payment. He hands the man over to the authorities, who throw the man into debtor's prison. And when the king finds out, we hear what he says to the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. How many times shall I forgive? How can we even ask the question, huh? Look at what God has done for us. He's taken away all of our sins. The 10,000 talents that we owed him. The awful debt load of our sins. God has taken away so many more sins that we have done against him than have been done against us. So why is it that people refuse to forgive another person? Why is it that even we Christians so often struggle to announce that forgiveness to another person? Maybe our refusal to forgive someone else comes from how we think about ourselves. Maybe we don't think we have that much sinfulness to be forgiven of. Okay, let me disavow you of that mentality. Let me help you see the 10,000 talents that you used to owe to your God. How perfect of a person are you? How have you treated your classmates at school? How have you honored those in authority over you? How have you thought about and talked about our president or our governor or the cops or other government officials? How pure have you been in your devotion to your God? How faithful have you been with God's word? How fervent is your prayer life? How pure have you been in your thoughts about the opposite gender? How kind have you been in your words to one another here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church and School? How satisfied are you with your lot in life? How joyous are you in giving your offerings away to your God? How much of your tongues wagged in gossip about other people? How much have your thoughts turned to pride and rebellion? How much have you been more in love with yourself than in love with the God of the Bible? Huh? And I'm just getting started with my questions, not only for you, but for me too. How many times shall I forgive? You know, we can't begin to forgive another person unless we appreciate how much we've been forgiven by our God. That's what Jesus tells us in this parable in the key verse. It's verse 27 in the text, where we read, "The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." How many times shall I forgive someone when he or she sins against me? Well, the answer is to look at what Jesus did for you, huh? There's the only power source we have to announce forgiveness and to answer the question today that's in front of us the way that God wants us to answer it. That our God took away all of our sins. Say it, everybody, yourself. Took away my sins that I have done in the past and the sins that I continue to do in the present, and yeah, the sins that I will continue to do even on into the future. Every single day of our lives. And God does that not because we're such good people. Not because we're Christians. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've earned it in any way or shape or form. But God does that simply because He loves us. And He wants us to be with Him forever in heaven. Period. And what God did for us, He did for that person who sins against us. This is the power we have from God to forgive sins when they're done against us. That we know and believe that God has already forgiven that person who sinned against us in the blood of Jesus. He's already taken that person's guilt away in Christ. And if God has done that, how in the world can we refuse to announce that forgiveness to him or to her? Oh yes, it's true, and I know, there are times that we may not be able to tell that person they're forgiven. We may not be able to announce that forgiveness to a person, not if they're determined to continue in their sin. Yes, it's true, there is a time to withhold the declaration of forgiveness from another person. In fact, not only may we do that, we must do that. We must not tell someone they're forgiven if it's clear they're refusing to repent. Because we know that would only harm them then. But even when we withhold forgiveness, we don't do it because God hasn't taken their person's sin away, but because we know that telling them they're forgiven when they're impenitent will only harm them and make them even more willing to sin. And yet, even if we have to do that, withhold forgiveness from impenitent people, in our hearts we wish it were different. In our hearts we ache for them to repent. We want them to turn from their sin. We earnestly want them to confess their sin to God and to us so that we can change our tune completely and speak just the opposite and tell them what God has already said in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is this message: my son, my daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. This is the heartbeat of the Christian faith. This is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. It is to forgive another person over and over and over again. To announce forgiveness to penitent people. For you see, whenever you announce God's forgiveness to someone else, you'll always hear that announcement the loudest right here in your own head. Whenever you tell a spouse that you forgive them, you see, you are humbly sitting at the foot of the cross and you are speaking to your own heart. And whenever you lay aside the hurt that a coworker has done to you, you are embracing Jesus' spectacular words, "Neither do I condemn you." And whenever you assure a neighbor that you're not going to hold a grudge against them, your Jesus is grabbing a hold of your own heart with his love, and he's moving you to appreciate what he did for you. And whenever you take a fellow member here of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church aside and announce the absolution to them, you are once again reveling that your own names are written in heaven. This forgiveness of sins that Jesus has entrusted to the church, to us, it is the center of our hearts. It is the center of our souls. It's the air that we breathe on a daily basis. It's always there on our lips, but it comes to us from our hearts because God has put it there by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ there into our hearts. How many times shall I forgive? How many times shall I announce what Jesus has done for sinners? How many times shall I rejoice with another person over what Jesus has done for him or for her? My dear Christian friends, it's not a matter of arithmetic. It's a matter of God's boundless grace in Christ. Amen. Please stand.